button on their computer screen or pad when it was not in fact a emergency vehicle. In certain instances, they were giving free passes to customers, and in other instances, they were collecting money and pocketing it and using that to justify letting the car go through. All the people involved in those cases resigned their employment. We referred the appropriate matters to the Cook County State's Attorney, DuPage County State's Attorney, Lake County State's Attorney. And as a matter of fact, I believe just this week there was a report in the media about one of the cases where the toll collector just pled guilty to official misconduct. So probation was given in that case. In those cases, we collected, or the tollway got restitution totaling $4,232.55. Excuse me. One of our cases, which was 0038, was a cash variance issue. This was a summer collector, actually, who was keeping the collected cash and not turning all of it in. In that case, management decided to dismiss the collector. We had two cases where our employees were misusing the non-revenue transponders. As has been reported to you in the past, employees had been given access to a transponder to use to and from work or during working hours. In these two cases, they were misusing that authority. In one case, to the tune of $2,362.53, that person received a five-day suspension. The other one was a lesser amount, but the person had previous violations of work rules and was given a 30-day suspension. We had one case where there were various issues of, in part, overcharging tolls. When the board determined that they were going to increase the tolls at the beginning of the year, this particular collector took it upon himself to independently raise the tolls and charged more than should have been charged. In addition, this particular individual was attempting to sell merchandise at the plaza to other toll collectors. And then finally, he was not classifying appropriately the vehicles. As they come through, they're supposed to indicate the axle numbers and classify what type of vehicle it is, which will determine the toll. When this person was interviewed by our office, we determined that he had a previous conviction for felony possession of a controlled substance, delivery of cocaine, and stated that it was a drug dealer. He also had a current arrest for a Chicago prostitution sting. He was placed on suspension and executive management dismissed him. The case has been forwarded for felony review. We also had an individual that was investigated by District 15. A tollway employee working for them here at the headquarters was misusing the law enforcement data system, which is referred to as LEADS. That individual resigned, and that's been referred to DuPage County for criminal charges. Criminal charges have been lodged. In addition to those cases, we did a review of the tollway procedures regarding construction contracts. And the reason we did that was because of the new Move Illinois projects that are going to be started to determine the types of oversight that are in place and to make certain that all of the employees are aware of the rules and are following the procedures. We determined in working with management that an independent review of current practices will be done, and an internal audit will be reviewing the contracts, the construction contracts. An audit is to be done in 2012 regarding bids and change orders. They all agreed, as far as management, to adhere to the C5 committee rules as far as all of the appropriate paperwork and the timing of when the paperwork is supposed to be filed. We also took a look at something that we came across during other investigations. That was a movement of total wave funds to the general revenue fund. This occurred in 2004, 5, and 6, and the state determined that the money would be paid into the general revenue fund from the tollway accounts in return for work that was done by other agencies for the tollway. And this was a legislative decision. A total of $33,695,000 was actually transferred to the general revenue fund. The directors, you know that the tollway does not typically transfer the money collected into the general revenue fund. This was a unique situation. There was a check that was cut for 2007, but it was never forwarded because the authority for the transfer of that money was expired. We recommended that this type of movement of funds be closely looked at by finance, by the executive management, in order to protect the indenture and the tollway funds for future use. Then we also got notice from IDOT that they had determined that there were concrete barriers that were improperly anchored in some of their locations. And due to that, we notified engineering of the potential for a serious problem. Their research determined that those concrete barriers were supposed to be anchored down 18 inches with bolts. And they had found some instances where the contractors had actually cut off the bolts so they only went down 6 inches and saved them a significant amount of time. However, the process by doing that allows those concrete barriers to move more than they're supposed to. The barriers are supposed to move a little, but not be pushed clear into other traffic. With them in that short condition, they could be. After the tollway department, engineering department, took a look, it was determined that we did not have any improperly installed barriers. There was one that was located, but it was actually a project that was being monitored by a municipality, and that was corrected as well. And then a construction bulletin was issued in January to make certain that all of the different contractors were aware of the appropriate procedures. The other thing that we accomplished during this 6 month I wanted to bring to your attention was a total review of the internal process within the office, which included the creation of a new operating manual and a new policies and procedures manual for the office. We're in the process of trying to develop a new computer system that would be just for the Inspector General office, and then we will upload all of that into that system. All in all, I think we've covered a lot of ground during the 6 month period, but we have other work that's still on the plate that we will finish in the next 6 months. Would you have any questions?
Are we doing enough now with background checks? You mentioned there was somebody currently that was there, but we found that that there was a prior. We didn't discover that when we did the hiring. Would you recommend some other procedures with the background?
The process utilized by the tollway has evolved over the years, and there had been a period of time going back to 10 years ago or longer that background checks were not as complete as they are being done now. This particular individual, pardon me, was hired during that time when checks were not as complete. And all of the employees are reminded constantly that if they have an arrest, they are to notify their superior and administration immediately, or at least within 3 days of the incident. And I think that's handled a lot of these problems. Obviously, in this case, we had a person who had a previous criminal problem. He wasn't the type of individual who was going to voluntarily tell anyone about a current criminal problem, and there's not much you can do about that.
Are we doing enough in the training as far as describing procedures and training now? Do you think we're doing a better job of that?
I do. I think that the executive management is doing an excellent job overall of reminding the people who are under them, which whatever department it is, of their responsibilities. And I think that the word is spreading, that they have a responsibility to do things ethically and openly and honestly.
Well, zero tolerance seems like it's working as a deterrent right now.
I believe it is.
Thank you.
Sir?
Yeah, you cited two cases, I think, dealing with transponder abuse. And I think I heard in both cases there were suspensions.
Correct.
Was there any element of restitution in those cases as well?
Yes, in both. The employees repaid the money that it had been determined that they misused transponders for. And in those cases, the charge is at the cash rate rather than the transponder rate. So it's even a stiffer penalty.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Well, we're very grateful to Jim and his staff. Very grateful we have a new Office of Inspector General. Not all that new anymore, but I think it's something the tollway clearly needed, and it was with the help of the governor and the governor's office and the General Assembly, the Office of Inspector General was created as an independent office of the tollway. I think it's proved to have been a good decision. As you know, Jim was hired initially by the tollway and under the new legislation was appointed by the governor, again, to that position. So I think both the idea of the office and also the person that we have in the office right now has really fulfilled the expectation that I think a lot of us had about how we should monitor ourselves. I think in addition to the zero tolerance point, the number of cases that Jim and his office are hiring are an indication that people who work at the tollway and know about the tollway feel they can go to somebody who is impartially going to accept any concerns, complaints, observations that they have and investigate them openly and fairly without any retribution. And I think that's also another important deterrent to behavior, but also an encouragement to people who put in a lot of time doing the right thing and work hard every day and may see something else happen that they think is inappropriate, they feel they can come forward and report that so that everybody is working hard. And we should remember that the overwhelming majority of people who work at the tollway do a superb job, and I think what Jim is doing is being able to identify the places where there might have been some problems and make sure that the people who pay the tolls understand that we're committed to having everything clean, squeaky clean. I think that's the governor's term. Everything's going to be squeaky clean at the tollway. So we thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Thank you. And I think, you know, particularly in those cases of toll collectors, as you may recall, often that was a case where they were misusing the emergency vehicle button. And I think that through Jim's work, we've seen that the emergency vehicle button, mysteriously, there's almost no usage now of the emergency vehicle button on the cash side of our collection. So not quite sure how that happened, but I'm sure that it's because the word is getting out of the work that Jim is doing. Also, we did
also
share,
I'm sorry, to the point that the more people who are using transponders, the better off we are.
Certainly, I mean, we still have the need for cash collection for some of our customers, but you know, clearly the transponders, you know, is a way to more, you know, directly and safely in many respects pay the tolls and drive on the system. So we like to see transponder usage, of course. We did share with you some information on some of our procedure changes with the advent of, you know, Jim and the tollway finding these cases of, you know, a large usage of particularly the emergency vehicle button, for instance. I know we sent something around, but Mike, do you want to just highlight a couple of procedural changes? And we can talk more thoroughly and fully about these at future committee meetings as well.
I think the primary point that I've already touched on is education about the fact that we are watching and we are aware of the issue. That's involved a lot of training of not only operations management, but also making sure that that information gets out to the toll collectors in general. Operations now is doing thorough periodic reviews of the data to monitor things like the EV button usage. We're also looking at bringing in a third party to look at our cash operating procedures to see if there are ways that we can improve and are there other best practices that we should be adopting as well.
Are there on the emergency button use and the axle count, is there a verification back up with a video recording?
We do take videos of
So as way in the future you can just audit based on that.
But we do have an
audit based on.
We do have an audit process that looks at the number of axles and compares the actual usage. The problem with the EV button is that it's an exempt transaction and wouldn't necessarily be matched.
Well, you could coordinate that use of that button with video recording.
Yes. Time,
right?
And we look to improve our recording and video capabilities across the system. It's definitely something, but we do use that camera technology to find, you know, instances where, whether emergency vehicles or other instances where people may be inappropriately taking funds.
The EV button, the emergency vehicle button, is also supposed to be backed up with a written report, an unusual occurrence report, a UOR, and that's being matched now to verify that the usage is proper as well.
Jeff, this is in your domain. Any comments that you want to make on it?
No, I think that the Inspector General did a good job of uncovering that. We had some system weaknesses, which we are strengthening currently. We're looking at not just the EV buttons, but all non-pay buttons as well to ensure that we don't have any weaknesses in any other areas. So we're shoring that up. We will be using the booth cameras in the future and taking a more proactive stance towards having our supervisors in the lane to make sure that this doesn't occur again.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Well, again, thank you to the Inspector General. We look forward to your next report.
Thank you. Okay.
Sure, we have another presentation. We thought that it was a good time. We're going to be doing these periodically, which are, you know, updates on Move Illinois. Paul Kovacs is going to go through the progress that we've made, but also what the board members, the board can expect to see in terms of work beginning, contracts, large kind of foundation laying contracts and assistance that we're going to need in order to get the program, you know, started off on the right foot. And then also start to talk a little bit about, some of the early issues that we are managing. So the overview is going to be presented by Paul and hoping to get some discussion around, some of these items. So Paul, go ahead and take it away.
Thank you, Christy. Good morning, directors. So as Christy said, this is going to give you a brief update on the Move Illinois program, and you can expect that we'll probably be doing these periodically throughout the rollout of this important program. The agenda, first we're going to take a quick look back on how we got to this point. We're going to try to create a level set knowledge base on amongst all the directors so that you understand, how we developed the program to begin with. Give you the current status of the program, talk about some of the challenges and risks that we've faced since approval of the program in August 2011, and some of the actions we're taking to address those challenges and risks, and give you a preview of what you can expect to see over the next several months. building a program like Move Illinois was not something that was done overnight. It took a lot of effort by a lot of individuals. It was a very lengthy process. We did a complete evaluation of our capital needs amongst our existing system, and we also did a complete evaluation of those regional improvements that were under consideration by various other planning agencies throughout northeastern Illinois. And throughout 2010 and early 2011, the board and tollway staff thoroughly evaluated the issues and physical and operational needs of the system. We conducted a detailed review of about $16 billion worth of potential projects that we might do. We also made sure that we involved the public in the development of this program, and that happened through organized efforts like the strategic advisory team, and also we had councils on some of the bigger corridors, and we also had our public forums and our public hearings before approval of the plan. The result of these efforts was our new capital program we call Move Illinois. It's $12 billion and it's spread out over 15 years. And the picture of the book on this slide is really what commemorates what that program is about. It describes the improvements that we plan to do under this program. It gives you the idea of the cost of those improvements and the time schedules. It's basically what our promise is to deliver to the public. We developed the cost and time estimate of the program based on a lot of different factors. And first and foremost, we based it pretty heavily on our experience and the successful delivery of the congestion relief program. That was our $6 billion capital program that preceded this Move Illinois program, which we were able to deliver on time and on budget. In the Move Illinois program, we did a lot of extensive coordination amongst the tollway departments to make sure that everybody and the needs of the tollway as a whole were being considered and included in this program, and also to check and see, you know, are these time frames that we're committing to, are they going to be doable, and are we going to be successful on it? The cost and schedule details in the program book are included in the program book are based on various goals and assumptions that we made very early on in the development of the program, early 2011. And one of the key things was we wanted to have a very balanced cash flow over the life of the program. We wanted to keep workers engaged, and we wanted to make sure that industry could meet our needs, not only from a manpower, but also from a material supply aspect. And that was a key component. Under the congestion relief program, we were very successful at delivering about $1 billion worth of work a year. And that's kind of what we used as a guide in developing Move Illinois. And we knew that's what the industry can handle. When we put out construction bids, trying to deliver $1 billion, we get multiple bidders on those contracts. We like to see multiple bidders on the contracts. We like to see the competition. So that was one of the basic understandings. Also, we approached all of our projects from a design, bid, build standpoint. So there wasn't really, we did not incorporate design, build aspects into this. So there's a few procurement opportunities included in that approach. So the main things were balanced cash flow. We knew the market can handle $1 billion a year. We based it on design, bid, build. The cost assumptions, we included escalation in these estimates, 5%. We felt that was conservative. We also assumed 16% for engineering design work and engineering construction management. Those are two key components that are going to be involved in every tollway capital project. And then on the construction estimates themselves, because we don't have plans yet developed for any of these improvements, there's a 25% contingency because we know there's going to be a lot of different things that have to be incorporated in there. We also made some basic assumptions on how the contracts or corridors were going to be divided. And one of the key things is we kind of approach it on a corridor basis. Like, we treat I-90, the eastern section, as a corridor, and I-90, the western section, as a corridor. We treat the big improvement at 294-57 as a corridor. We treat the Elgin O'Hare improvement as a corridor. So we have this corridor approach, which was very successful for us in CRP, where we did ORT as a corridor, and we did the South Extension as a corridor. Also, we had a lot of success when we do our reconstruction projects. Typically, we do advanced work in the first year. That's kind of to get everything ready for the staging of the traffic. And then we follow reconstruction and rebuilding of one direction in 1 year, and rebuilding and reconstruction of the opposite direction in the next year. But you see how when you have that approach, and it's a design bid build approach, delays at the beginning really can have an impact on pushing all the future work off. So that's a critical thing I wanted you to understand about that. Basically, we assumed there would be 12 months for design. That's what I would pray and hope that we could get. Under CRP, we didn't always achieve that. You know, the ORT program was rolled out very aggressively at the beginning. But ideally, we'd like to have design, 12 months of design, followed by construction in the very next year. We do not like to take more than that.
But that is a difference from some other entities. The design can take a longer period of time. We really try to get design done and construction started quickly.
Yes, that is definitely a hallmark of the tollway. People like to work on our jobs because they like to see the progress being made in a very quick manner, and that's what we pretty much have done throughout the time period that I've been here.
And PSORT is the open road tolling. We don't necessarily think about it that way anymore.
Yeah, that was the basic conversion of all of our barrier plazas to accommodate open road tolling. The next slide. So this picture right here helped us form the basic framework for the Move Illinois program, and it really helped us confirm what the cash flow was going to be, because that's a key component. We use this chart to really coordinate and confirm with finance that, you know, we weren't committing to anything that we couldn't build or afford. The bottom area of this shows the annual expenditures that we had anticipated. The red line that crosses diagonally across the bottom is the cumulative spending included in the program, and the interstate shields and the boxes at the very top give you an indication of when work is going to be done on those major corridors. So you could see how Elgin O'Hare, the very top line on that chart, is spread out over the whole 15-year period of the Move Illinois program. You also see that the first year in the program, which we're in right now, there are a lot of corridors being worked on simultaneously. You have the 294-57 corridor that's starting. We have the I-90 work that's scheduled to start. We have already hit the ground running with our planning for the 53-120 corridor. And the Elgin O'Hare, as I said, is spread out across the whole thing. So with this framework, we had this in place in late August of last year. We turned our attention to getting the resources that we knew we had to have in order to deliver this massive program. Next slide. So the day after the board approved the Move Illinois program last August, we advertised our first bulletin to try to get these necessary services on board. And in the first bulletin, we had design work for I-90. I-90 is the corridor. It's part of our existing system. It's in really bad shape. It needs attention immediately. We knew that was going to be a key component. And shortly after that, we issued two more professional service bulletins to bring on additional help that we knew was going to be critical. And that included our program management office, the PMO. And I would like to, John Bourne is the program manager. He works for HMTD. They are our program management office. And Michelle Graham, I wanted to thank her. She helped me put a lot of this material together for this presentation. She's been involved pretty heavily in the Route 53 study work for us. But these early bulletins, we're trying to build up these critical services that we know we're going to rely on heavily in order to be successful on this. We also had the corridor construction manager for 294-57. So on the board agenda item today for engineering, we have that contract included on there for your approval. And we also have the first construction contract on that particular corridor on today's agenda. So that they're linked together. So these are the support services we need. This is going to help us build a strong foundation so that we can be successful in the delivery of our program. And it really, what it translates into is we need people to help us. And we need a lot of people to help us because, on the next slide, you know, a program of this size is going to take a lot of individuals to work together in order to be able to deliver it in the time frames that we committed to. Knowing this, the tollway did include some budgeted positions because we want to bring some additional people on board to help us. It's still within, you know, our established annual budget for M&O, And overall, we do plan on utilizing a program management office, just like we did under CRP. And that program management office, in simple terms, they are the ones that are going to help us deliver it and make sure that we're delivering it on time and on budget. We also have these corridor managers. As I mentioned, we have that construction corridor manager on today's agenda for the 294-57 work, and we are planning to bring the Elgin O'Hare corridor manager on board. That will probably come to the board next month. And these corridor managers are very critical because they're like an extension of our staff. They also help us, they enable us to manage a whole bunch of contracts that might be associated with that corridor work. That worked very well for us. You know, as I mentioned, ORT, Open Road Tolling, I was the tollway representative on that, and I had a corridor manager, and I was able to manage all the construction, all the design, all the construction management contracts related to that program through this corridor manager. And it was roughly about a $700 million effort. So that corridor manager, they help us look at how all the individual contracts are going to be broken out and rolled out. They're also going to make sure that all these designers and construction managers and contractors are all coordinated together so that we reduce our impacts on our customers, and also that they're doing their work in a consistent manner. So that these corridor managers are critical. They have a very large and important function for us. We are going to need additional engineering designers and construction managers to do all the individual projects within that corridor. That goes without saying. Public involvement and coordination is also going to be very critical to developing a strong foundation for our success on this program. We are continuing to coordinate extensively with the councils that have been developed for the various corridors, and this is going to continue throughout the life of the program. That work is not really going to and it's represented in those formal councils, committees, and other types of public outreach that we're doing. And finally, we're in the process of developing a master program schedule, and that's a key component of the program management office service to us also, because this master program schedule is going to be the tool that's going to translate that book, that Move Illinois book, which is, you know, a pretty high level overview of what we're committing to, into all these individual projects, the schedule form, the budgets form, and that's really going to help us have control over these projects and understand, you know, what changes are doing to the program and make sure that we have a robust system for evaluating these changes and the potential impacts.
Just to make the point, I think that another area, although we don't have a formal advisory council, certainly coordination around 294-57 is also critical here. So I didn't want anyone to think that we weren't doing outreach or weren't coordinating there. There's a lot of local outreach. There hasn't been a formal council established because it's not necessarily a requirement at this point of that project, but we are actually working very closely with a lot of the local groups there because of the various issues and local impacts that project will have, positive and those that, you know, need to be addressed.
And, you know, the trustee Darcy gets to be involved in that, right. Geography.
And Director Gonzalez.
And Director Gonzalez, right.
Right. So.
This is a snapshot of the master program schedule as it's being developed right now. We haven't finalized it yet. It's very detailed. I'm not going to spend any time on this. We'll zoom in on one particular section. That's the next slide. So this is a zoomed in portion of that master program schedule. And this is showing you what's going on in one corridor. And you can see how within that corridor, we break things down further into the different types of work that we're doing, the right-of-way, the utilities, the construction contracts themselves, and also the engineering would also be included in there, both the design and the construction management. There's a tremendous amount of detail shown on this. We have dates, we have costs associated with this, and right now, just in the current development of this master program schedule for Move Illinois, we have like over 600 contracts that are coming to you. This, when we get into this level of detail, that's when we start to refine the way we're looking at these projects and the assumptions that we've made in delivering this program, in how we plan to deliver this program. And it's also identifying some of the challenges and the risks that we're going to have now. So we know, and we knew this when we did CRP, and we knew it even before then, because every time you do a transportation project, you always have risk. And the basic, the three big ones in my mind are always utilities. Those are a big issue, because if you don't get the utilities out of the way, you can't do your work. There's right of way, you have to buy the property to put your improvement on it, and environmental permit. And I think the reason why there's risk associated with those three categories, because each one of them requires a lot of external coordination, and in some respects, we don't control the schedule when it goes into those modes. It's like we have to deal with the property owners, we have to deal with these outside utility companies, and we have to deal with the regulatory agencies in order to get approval for our projects. And that is always not as fast as we'd like it to be. The Move Illinois program...
I'm sorry, Paul, when you say we, that would be the legal office, the general counsel's office that does a lot of this work?
No, I won't say it's all engineering, because we do have a lot of assistance from legal. We get a lot of assistance from others within the tollway, but engineering is really the ones, and planning, especially on the environmental side, I rely on the planning department to do a lot of the permitting, get the permitting in order.
Okay, thank you.
But on top of those three basic ones, which are associated with any transportation improvement, we have Move Illinois, which has some very unique aspects to it. We're going to accommodate transit for the first time on a tollway corridor, and that's going to be on I-90. We are doing coordination at a level that hasn't, you know, occurred really in CRP on both the Elgin O'Hare project and the 294-57, where we have a lot of interaction with IDOT and a lot of local municipalities involved. But perhaps the greatest challenge that we've identified so far, and that I think is the biggest risk to the program, is our new procurement legislation. And, you know, while Senate Bill 51, we know it was a well-intentioned piece of ethics legislation, it is going to have a big impact on our project delivery schedules. We know that the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules, JCAR, is currently revising those administrative rules related to procurement. In fact, John Donato, our Chief of Procurement, he provided testimony to JCAR earlier this week. And based on our reviews, these rules will impact the known delays that we think we're going to have right now even further. We're experiencing procurement delays that they are going to challenge us on the time and the cost and delivery of this program. And we know that that is what's ultimately critical to our customers and also, you know, the tollway and the public in general. This slide will hopefully give you an overview of where the known delays are occurring right now. And it's a simplified look at our process, and the basic steps are the same as we had in the past, at least leading up to asking the board for approval to award the contract. At the front end, you know, we have the development of the professional service bulletin, then we advertise the professional service bulletin, then we select our consultants based on qualifications, then we enter into negotiations with our consultants. And then I bring it to the board and ask for your approval to award these contracts. But after that is where things are showing to be taking more time. I think this slide transitions, Nancy, if you click again. So you can see those yellow areas where after board approval and before I can give them notice to proceed with the work, there's a lot of interaction going on, a lot of extra reviews going on, both by people at the tollway and outside the tollway that are adding a lot of time to this process. We have some examples right now where we brought some professional service contracts to our December board, and they took 71 days and 75 days to get notice to proceed on them. Typically before this procurement legislation, we would issue notice to proceed within 30 days of board award. In some cases, on critical projects in CRP, we were issuing the notice to proceed the next day. Like, we got the contract signed off, approved internally at the tollway, and we're ready to hit the ground running the very next day. And that is not happening right now. In addition, this interaction that we have right now on the procurement process is really eating up a lot of internal staff time. A lot of people within the tollway, and not just in the engineering department, are devoting a lot of their times to just negotiating ourselves through this procurement process. And I could explain a little bit more about what those are on the next slide. And John Donato, he actually did a presentation to the FAO.